The secret, in the quiet place, you are there. Hallelujah.
In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I am reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. See your face. I want to know you more. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. Quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. And more and more, I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I am reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, or out of my way, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to know you more, and more and more and more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you. I want to know you more and more and more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you.
I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. Sing that again.
I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know.
And the souls said, have you seen my beloved? I have looked at him through the lattice. I have sought for him whom my soul loves. Have you seen my beloved? For I am his and he is mine. The soul speaks these words. I want to see your face. In other words, I want a face-to-face relationship. I don't want to be looking for you in the fields, but I want to be with you. I want to have this intimate relationship with you. This is what our soul yearns for, a relationship with the Father. And then he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now have I brought you into a relationship where you see my face, you behold my glory. You see who I am. And come. Then he says, come, let us together. Let us together. Come and make love together. Let the love that I am become one with you. Let the glory that I am become yours. Let the peace that I have become your peace. For you've seen my face. You've seen my glory. You've touched me. I have allowed myself to be seen by you. And you have been changed. And suddenly, we awoke. In our waking, we beheld his righteousness. We beheld his glory, for we realized who we were. Love was no more outside of us. His glory was no more outside of us. But now we have become one. For we have found our lover. We have found that which is the satisfaction, the longing of our being. And now we revel in his peace, in his joy. We revel in his presence. We rejoice at his coming, for he has revealed himself to us. He has uncovered himself. He has taken away that fence that was between us. There's no more Greek, nor Jew, nor Gentile, nor free, nor one in bondage, but he's made us one. In Jesus Christ, all things have culminated and come to a oneness in Jesus Christ. And now he says, we are his children, we are his sons. Beloved, how great a love he has bestowed upon us that we could be called his sons, his beloved, one with him. His manifestation in the world. For Romans says the whole creation longs for what we were singing. The whole creation groans that He would be manifested and covered and seen. And He's standing today saying, behold, behold who I am. As Grace was speaking about, we come to a realization of who we are. The I am. The I am. And the oneness that we have with Him. And the peace that that brings deep within. A peace that no natural understanding can comprehend. Because it brings that eternal oneness with God and all that He is, with His whole creation. And we walk in harmony. And we flow together in that harmonious relationship. So that it's like as the harpist who strings on the strings, or the piano player who plays on the keys and produces a harmony. Our harmonious living is in oneness with each other and with the universe. So that God can be seen as who He is, what He is. We look past that which would judge and that which would condemn, and we behold His face of love, His face of grace, His face of mercy, His face of forgiveness. And we arise in newness of life, renewed with the vigor of God. For we have been set free from the shackles that bound us. Hell cannot hold us. The grave cannot claim us. For we have been made free. Who we are soars in the freedom of our Father. Oh, what a beautiful song. I want to see your, I want to know you. Let's sing this together again, this beautiful chorus. I want to hear your voice, for it is peace to me.
In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I am reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize. Pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to know you more.
I met this beautiful woman, and so I pursued her and I sought after her. Till finally came the day when I said, you know, I want you to become mine, and I want to become yours, and I want the two of us to become one, not separate any longer, but one, so that we share everything together. All that I am and everything I possess, I want to share with you. This is what God is doing with us. Come. All that I am and all that I possess, I share with you. If we have need, our Heavenly Father, when we have looked into His face and seen His glory and His beauty, delights in sharing His peace and glory with us. He delights in that. And so I delighted, and finally, I persuaded her, and we stood at the altar and we gave vows to each other. And the vow was that as long as I live, as long as I draw breath, I will honor you and love you and care for you. And God has given us His vow. I will never leave you. Never. I'll not forsake you. I'll never leave you alone. But I'm going to stay with you. That's God's vow to us. That, my beloved, is His vow to us. His promise to us. Because we have stood and we have said, yes, I will be one with you. And you'll be one with me. And now we are one. We're no longer separate. There is no separation between God and us. We're one. Which means we are one together in Him. We're not separate, but we're. That's why we can bear each other's burdens, because we are one. What a wonderful time, isn't it, that we can be one with Him. This is Kenny's day to minister to us, so I'm going to turn it over to Kenny. And thank you, Kenny, for what beautiful music. I love this song. What a beautiful song.
Thank you, Larry, for letting me have another opportunity to preach to myself. Because like I've said before, my sermons are preaching to me. And if you get blessed in the meantime, then we just got a double whammy. So, and Larry spoke most of my sermon, so I was like, I don't even have to preach now. We can just go right to the food. In the secret, in the quiet place, it's in the stillness that he is there. And that's something that I've been finding lately. I like to just kind of talk about what's been happening in my life lately and what I'm going through and what God's been showing me, because he's always got something new coming along. And if you've listened to my past CDs, it just is about the barking dogs, that there's barking dogs in our life that take us off our course. We'll be on a walk and be focused, and here will come these barking dogs trying to distract us from our walk. And I use that metaphor for things in our life, situations in our life that would distract us from our mission, distract us from knowing who we are, our true identity, and following after that. Since that CD of It Is, It Just Is, and talking about the barking dogs, I've gone from just having to deal with barking dogs to pack of dogs. And I thought that was pretty bad, but then I learned to start dealing with the pack of dogs. And we went from barking dogs, I think, to herds of elephants. But anytime something happens in our lives that's disturbing, it takes our focus away from who we really are. It takes our focus away from the source of all things. It takes our focus away from our mission in life and from mine. It's real easy to get caught up in the things in our lives that surround us and cause disturbance. But one great thing that I've been finding over the last few weeks is that I have an internal guidance system. I don't know if I've read this somewhere or heard it. I don't know where I came up with the term, but one day I was just talking to somebody and I says, I'm following this internal guidance system. And it's like a GPS, a global positioning satellite or something. You know, turn right here, turn left here. Nope, you took a wrong turn here. Go back. That's the GPS. And that's what I have inside. It's internal. And it is a spiritual thing. I don't always just hear an audible voice of God, but I've just more and more am learning to just have this inner peace. And that's when I know I'm on the right track. And that's, I think, what my sermon's going to be about today is peace and harmony. I think that's what we'll title the CD, is peace and harmony. And that's our spiritual food for the day. And because we are spirit beings in a physical body, we are spirit beings having a physical experience versus physical beings having a spiritual experience. And that's something that's really become more alive to me today, is that we are spirit beings having a human experience as opposed to human beings having a spiritual experience. Ponder on that one for a while. But anyway, we need spiritual food of peace and harmony, and we're going to have physical food of peace and harmony. I have made a special soup, and I know y'all going to be thinking I'm crazy, but I was walking down the aisle following my internal guidance system, and I saw a big can of hominy, and I grabbed it, and I have no idea why. I'm like, what am I going to do with this big can of hominy? And then later on, I got down an aisle, and there was a bag of split pea soup, split peas. And I said, peas and hominy. Now, I've always made jokes about the metaphor of peas and hominy. So we're going to have today, I made it, and I think it's going to be good. And it's even Christmassy because it's the white hominy with green peas and red meat. So Christmas color. So it's Christmassy even. Well, they're just little smokies. And I don't know what the spiritual connection is there. But I put some little smokies in there. So red meat and peas and hominy. So I have no idea what it's going to taste like. I mean, I sampled it just to make sure it's not real bad. And I think it's edible. My daughter liked it. She kept eating bites. So I think it'll be okay. But even if you don't like it, that's okay. Because at least try it. And if you don't like it, Karen brought a really nice cake. So you can have cake. So, I think if you don't like it, like I said, it's okay. Because I still got the message across then of peas and hominy. You will never forget peas and hominy. Because I'm finding that that's what a marker, a good marker. You know, when people have cancer, I've been learning about how each kind of cancer has its own marker that they look for to see if it's coming back. They'll do a blood test, and someone with prostate cancer would have a PSA, and they look at the numbers to see if anything's changing, and that's the marker. They know if something's happening internally where they can't see. And breast cancers, all different ones, have different markers. Lung cancers, everything. They all have their own marker numbers, and they're all different. And they give the doctor a indication as to whether there's something going on internally that they can't see. And I'm finding that the marker within my life to know if I'm living out of spirit versus living out of the old carnal nature, the ego, the carnal man, the Adam consciousness, as opposed to the Christ within, is that marker of peace and harmony. If I'm experiencing anything but peace and harmony, then I'm looking in the wrong direction, and I need to change that focus to where I do have my peace and harmony back. That's a really good marker. If I'm feeling anxious, stressful, worried, fearful, anger, anybody get those feelings? No, nobody? And I get them constantly. And we have them from every part of our life. We're experiencing those things. You know, dealing with cancer, you know, that I've had to deal with, I never know what's going to happen at my next doctor visit. I don't know if I have another month, another 6 months, another year. Nobody knows. I know I took Danny to a new doctor the other day just for a checkup, and she asked, do you have cancer in your family? And I said, I would think so. She said, who and what? And then she didn't speak up right away, and I did. I said, well, her dad has small cell carcinoma lung cancer. And she immediately just went, what? Who has that? And I said, her dad. And who are you? And I said, that'd be me. and you're alive? And I'm, yeah, I'm sitting here talking to you right now. And she said, I've just never known anyone. Well, thank you for your upfrontness, your candor, whatever. But, you know, I wasn't thinking about that. Now I am. But she was just, you know, I've never seen anybody that still can live from that. And I said, well, there is a small percentage, and I'm hoping to be in that percentage. So that's where my focus is. It's in the small percentage. But whether we're worried about living each day to day, whether we're worried about finances, our occupations, relationship problems with family, friends, coworkers, other church members, you know, we have all these problems and chaos that go on within our brain, and that keeps us from our focus. So anytime you start feeling anxiety, fear, pain, anger, those are all physical, outside, temporal. That's not who you are. Our true identity is the Christ within. Our true identity is at one with God. And more I'm finding ways to sometimes it's hard to stop those thoughts as they come into your head. I learned that there's some 60,000 thoughts that goes on within the human brain every day. 60,000. And you thought you were the only one? I did for the longest time. I was like, did everybody have all this crazy stuff going on in their head? Or am I the only one? But now it turns out there's 60,000 thoughts go on in your brain. And replaying scenarios and problems and future problems, past problems, present problems, replaying things over and over. And it's the same 60,000 thoughts every day. That's insanity. You know, no wonder we're crazy. And then, you know, everything we watch on TV, the media, different things that we come in contact with all just feed into this. You can watch CNN and come away just going, oh my God. You know, there's all this fighting going on over here. They got nuclear people coming against this, and then this happened over here and that happened over there. And by the time you've watched 5 minutes of the news, your anxiety level and blood pressure just went up to the top. But that's okay, because then next comes the commercials, and they're going to solve all your problems. You got a headache? Take this pill. You know, you're stressing out? Take this pill. You got a stomach problem? Try the little purple pill. So they take care of all of our problems and create more. But so once again, we need to, I'm not saying we can't watch the news or anything like that, but we just always need to recognize that marker number, recognize that marker, the peace and harmony, the peas and harmony. Always remember that. If you're experiencing a peace and harmony, then we're on the right track. If we have fear and agony and stress, then we have taken our focus off of the inner man to the outer man, and the outer man is not who we are. A good way I've had it explained I've been reading a book, and I was led to this once again by the internal guidance system. I never go to yard sales. I have not been to a yard sale in over 2 years. And one day, I was driving by, and I just felt I was supposed to stop at this yard sale, and I had no idea why. But I don't argue with it anymore, because I've learned that when I get this feeling inside, I'm supposed to go into this store or turn down this street for no apparent reason. I don't know why. I can just tell I'm supposed to do this. And something almost always comes from it. And even if I didn't see a manifestation of why I was supposed to go here, I know that I was supposed to go there because maybe just my presence around someone needed to be there that day. Not my Ken, but my the Christ within me needed to be near someone that day and may have made a huge difference in their life, and I don't even know it. Just as when Peter walked by and his shadow went out and healed people. So we never know that where we go, we're always taking God with us and doing his work. Even the silliest things of stopping at a yard sale, you know, that can be God's will. We think that in order to do God's will, we need to be doing something special, like being out on the mission field. I need to be a missionary. I need to be a Sunday school teacher. I need to go to Bible study for 20 years. I need to, with me, it's I was in a particular Christian rock band, and I had to do this Christian music for a year. I did this years back. And all good things, but just because something's good doesn't mean it was necessary. That's what God's will was for you at that time. There's a difference between doing good and doing God's will. Because remember, good comes from the same tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And we're supposed to be eating from the tree of life. And when we eat from the tree of life, that's when we're eating. Jesus said to eat of my flesh. That's when we're eating from the tree of life, which is just only doing God's will and God's purpose within our life. That's eating the peas in harmony. That's when we're living in total peace and harmony with God. And we just start to discover that we are one with everyone and in touch with everyone, that the energy is all together, and just magic starts to happen, for lack of a better word. But to me, it's like magic. There's portholes that open up. Doors open up. Things happen. Things start to change. Opportunities just are bink, right there for you. When you're in peace and harmony with the Source, peace and harmony with your true identity, the Christ within you, that oneness of you and Christ, Christ in God, and we are all part of this whole overall universe. And when I went to the yard sale, I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. But I went directly to this book. And I don't know if anybody has heard of Dr. Wayne Dyer. I had no idea who he was, never heard of him before. And I opened it up, and just every page I turned to was, this is exactly what I need in my life right now. This is exactly what God's been showing me. And I couldn't believe the things I was reading. I couldn't wait to get it home and start reading it. And I can't put it down. It is just a wonderful book. Your Sacred Self, it's an older book, about 10 years old. And he's got new books out now too. But the things that he has been showing me go right along with our message that we preach here, of the Christ within. A lot of times he uses different terminology, but you know, we can't get hung up on words. they're just words. He calls the Christ within our higher self, and that's what it is. It's knowing our higher self, living in the higher realm. He talks about how to enter into the kingdom of God that's within you. And it's all things I've been doing and practicing, but I've gotten to know it in a more clearer and enlightening ways. It's just no matter what stress is going on in my life, I've been learning how to find that peace and harmony and walk down that path. And what's great is that no matter, I'm finding that no matter what path we take, it all paths lead to God. Because God is everywhere. There is nowhere that God isn't. So even if we've taken wrong turns or go down a wrong path, all roads lead back to God. There's that country song that God bless the broken road. How's that? Anybody know country songs? God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. Even if you've gone down that broken road, it leads back to God. Because you can never be outside of God. Because we are all within God. And when we can really sense that and feel that and know that, that's when things begin to change. I heard a saying that says, when you change the way you look at things, then the things you look at change. Have you heard that one? When you change the way you look at things, then the things you look at change. And this goes even into the physics level, where I mean, the scientists have proven this, that we're able to create through energy. And I'm not going to go down that route right now because I'm not a physics expert, so I would be the wrong person to be giving a lecture on that. But it was interesting, the things I had read about it. But also, just in our perception, things change just by how we look at them. If we're looking at the situation that we're going through that's hurting and bothering us at the time, just by switching our focus and looking at God and finding that peace within, that knowing that I'm at one with God, the maker of all things, the one that is the answer and solution to everything, then now we're focused on the answer as opposed to being focused on the problem. And it's really as simple as that, as just looking inside and knowing that peace and knowing that God, that He is in control and in charge of everything and is changing everything. And before you know it then, you've changed the way you're looking at the problem now, and the problem changes. The situation will change. When I got to the yard sale, going back to the yard sale, I went straight to the book, and I knew I was supposed to read that book. And then while I'm up paying for it, there was a guy I was trying to help get a job, and I ran into an old boss there and said, look, this guy's been trying to get on with your company now. He's been calling all the time, and I really think he'd be good. And she says, okay, I'll what's his name? And she went back and looked him up, and 2-3 days later, he got the job. So I was also supposed to be there to help this guy get that job. So when we go through this internal guidance system and follow it, things happen. And sometimes just absolutely amazing things. Because we start to discover that when we're walking in peace, everything, worlds just open up to us. When things seem hopeless and helpless, the world just opens up and the universe provides for you. Because that's what frame of mind you're in. That's where you're at. You're in spirit. When I'm in spirit, that's why we sang a song this morning. When I'm in the spirit, what? I am the voice of God. To be the voice of God. That everywhere you go, to be that part of God, to make a difference in this world. It's just, and I'm seeing it happen. There's the beauty around us just starts opening up. I needed a place to live, and I got the most beautiful house I could ever think of ever living in without even thinking. I was ready to live in a cardboard box, and I would have been happy, because that's the thing I've been learning, is that it's happiness is not anything external. There is no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. And you create that happiness from without of you because you're one with God. So we are happiness, whether we have everything physically or whether we're living in a cardboard box. And when we can get to that point, that's when the magic opens up and doors just open up everywhere. I mean, I cannot believe how blessed God has me through every other member of the body, through other people all seeing needs and supplying them. I walk outside on my front porch the other day, and there's 7 beautiful peacocks right in my front yard. And I'm just, wow. What do I deserve to have 7 peacocks in my front yard? You know, that was just so beautiful. And there's a girl that lives right next door that bakes me brownies and cookies. She comes, brings them to me, and it's just, wow. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better, just doors open. And exciting things happen, you know, as I... let's see, talking about other doors that open. I've had a guy in prison. When I was in prison, there was a preacher and singer from Day Spring Ministries that I got to know very well. Anyway, he had me a few months ago go back into the prison with him. I got to go to the penitentiary and give a message to the guys in there. And it was such a blessing to be able to go in there and walk back out, for one thing. And believe me, I was watching the gates. And like, this isn't a trick, is it? Trying to get me back in here. It was wonderful. And you could just, these guys were just alive in Christ, because in the midst of their captivity, that's where they find their freedom. And it's in your sickness that you discover your strength. It's in your weaknesses that you're made strong. It's in your, within the problems, that's where God is. So as long as we take our focus away from the problem and back on to the solution and answer to all problems. So I got to go to the prison, and that was just one of those doors that opened, and it wasn't supposed to open, but God opened it. Because later he tried to get me back in, turned in the same paperwork for clearance to the same person, and it came back and said, no, you're supposed to be out of prison for 5 years before you can come back in. Well, he was just in. Well, it slipped through the cracks. So for now, that's a closed door, but God opened it for a reason for that time. I don't believe it was an accident. I don't think there's any accident. I think everything that happens to us is all part of God's special plan and purpose. Even the bad things. It's all part of our plan and purpose. So that door got closed, but then other doors opened. He called me the other day and asked me if I would do come and preach on a TV station. So I'm going to do that at the end of this month with Radiant Light Broadcasting. I'm going to do a 10-minute sermon during a half-hour program there. And then I guess there's a Channel 13, and I'm not familiar, a local channel. And they have a broadcast there, and they asked me to do a 20-minute sermon for that one. So right away, I mean, I'm having to do a sermon here and do sermons there. So I get real nervous and stressful. So I get to practice what I preach on learning how to, when I see these signs and I'm getting nervous and frustrated, I've got to find that inner peace. And all I have to do is shift the focus from the stress. Well, and in another word, a new way I've been learning through kind of a meditation is because prayer is a form of meditation. But unfortunately, a lot of times when I get into prayer, it's always, I do all the talking. You ever do that? I mean, it's always, Lord, you know, I need this, and help me with this, and this is coming up, and I'm stressed, or this and that. And it, like he's a Santa Claus God, you know. It's, Sally wants a pair of skates, and Susie wants a dolly. But instead, I need to listen. And through relaxation, peace, and harmony, just relaxing, Dr. Dyer gives a really good example of how to handle stress. There was a woman that he saw a waitress that was having a bad day. There was someone harassing her, and it was really bothering her. And he said, try to just be the observer of your feelings and of the situation that happened. Don't attach yourself to what happened. And he went on to explain that there's three layers, basically, that protect you from the outer world and your inner self. And that's, first of all, your clothing. And certainly, you know, she had a waitress uniform on. Certainly, you're not the waitress uniform. That's not you. And your body, next, you can't attach yourself and say you're the body, because then you're open for every kind of hurt, every kind of insult, anything that happens within your life. You're open for hurt. You're wide open. If you think that's you, then when someone does say something about you, or circumstances happen, and you're attached to that person, then you feel and experience all that pain that goes with it. Then he said, next you have your mind. And he said, notice how he said, your mind. Now, who's the owner of your mind? It's getting deep. Who's the owner of your mind? Well, when you start stepping back and watching the thoughts, watch the scenarios that go on in your head. I'm worried about this happening. Oh, this might be high. I got these tests coming up. I've got these financial problems coming up. I have this coming up. You've got all these crazy thoughts going on in your head. 60,000 of them. And you can sit back and just watch them. Non-judgmentally, watch the mind, watch the body, watch the feelings that are taking place there. And pretty soon, and then step back and watch the person that's watching the thoughts and the body and the mind. And he says, that's you. That's your higher self. See, we need to, you're the owner of the body, you're the owner of the mind, but you are not the mind and the body. You are the Spirit of God inside. You are that oneness with the universe. You're that oneness with the source. That's your true identity, and that's who you are. And if you're connecting yourself with an external being, external, then you're open for all the pain that goes on. So to step back and watch it, and I've been doing that. I've been practicing that. We had Danny and I had an incident with, there's a lady in our life that's been around for years, known her for years, and this is a lady that she was put here on earth to be a thorn in my rear end. And every time I run into her, and I run into her at least once a year, every time I run into her, she's got to say every mean and nasty and dirty thing she can think of at me and insult me. And I'm not the only one she picks on. And she has so many people that have restraining orders against her. You look up restraining order in the dictionary and that'll be her name. And we're in a public place and she starts mouthing off. And see, if I see myself as this human being, then I will take offense to that. But that's ego. That's the outer man. That is not the inner man. That's not the spirit man. The spirit man cannot be offended by anything anyone says. Because you're one with God, and how can God be offended? But if you're attaching yourself to the outward, it's very easy to become offended and hurt and everything else. And of course, I felt those feelings, and I've learned to not say anything back, but to turn around and walk away, and it goes away. But I got the opportunity to, I told my daughter, that was the first time she was with me when it's happened, and she's, oh my God, you know, that was just horrible. You know, I mean, she, her heart's beating, and we told her mom about it, and they said, you know, you need to go get a restraining order on her. And I'm, well, you know, it's once a year, she spouts her mouth off, and, you know, why make a big deal out of it? But they're like, no, you can't let her get away with that, you know. After carefully thinking about it, I just inside didn't feel right that I needed to fight it outwardly at this time. And I was talking to my mom about it, too. And she had made the comment that, you know, something that's happening outwardly isn't going to get fixed outwardly. The way to fix it is in the higher realm of spirit. And when you go to the higher realm of spirit, the outward things then are changed. Part of this changing the way you see the way you look at things, then things change. So fix it internally with love, with spirit, and that will also be fixed. And what was amazing then, I said, well, that's kind of how I was feeling. And I got home, and I went to my reading room and sat on my throne. But there's something about the bathroom that I get all my best reading in. And it's just me all alone in my little world on my throne and nobody to bother me. And I get most of my inspiration there. And anyway, I sat down and I read. And this is where Dr. Dyer at that point told the story about the waitress being offended. And how to not see this as an outward experience, but to go inside and watch the scenario. Because this was bothering me. It was going over and over in my head. And so I sat back and I just watched the thoughts non-judgmentally and with love. Not trying to change the thoughts, not trying to change it. Just watch that they're there. And something magical happens when you just sit and relax and watch the thoughts flow. Pretty soon, I mean, I saw this whole scenario in my head just go like a vortex, and I mean, it just took off like something off of Star Wars. I mean, it was gone, and I was at peace. It did not bother me. Now it came back later, and it will. We have those 60,000 thoughts that just keep coming back and replaying. But each time, to just relax and just be the observer of the thoughts. It's the same principle as what we talked about in the other CD about the barking dogs, that, you know, Caesar Malone, the dog trainer on the Dog Whisperer, said that with these dogs, you don't give them any power, because when you give them attention, they become more powerful. When you don't give them attention, they become powerless. And it's that way with everything in our lives. If you're giving the attention to the problem, then you're giving it power. I saw some friends the other day and went and visited their church the Sunday we didn't have church. They'd been bugging me to go, so I went. But to listen to them sit and talk about fighting the devil all day long, and I was like, well, I haven't heard this in a while. You know, you don't have to fight the devil if you're not giving him any power. If you're giving him power, then yep, you're going to be fighting him all day long. You'll be fighting him all day long. And thank God, that's one thing he's shown me. You know, years ago, I got through that to where I'm not fighting these things that come in. It's the same with your thoughts. I don't have to fight these thoughts that come in. And all the things that are stressing me out and making me fearful, making me angry, you know, all these different thoughts, I don't have to fight them. I can just relax and let them go as I go more into spirit. When I'm in the spirit, I'm the voice of God. And if I'm the voice of God, then I can stop any of that. I don't even have to stop it. It's not there. And that's what I got to explain to Danny and to her friend. And after this incident, I came back and told her, no, I'm not going to do the restraining order. That I found that when I go internally and focus on who I really am and the Christ in me and the peace within me, I said, those thoughts just went away. And her friend just looked at me intently and she says, I have people all the time hurting me. And she says, and I can't get it out of my head. So I showed her how to kind of practice this and do this. And she was I'm sure this is going to help her one step along the way, another stepping stone to help her deal with the problems going on in her head. And so I got to share with them that when you find this peace inside, you realize you're in the kingdom of God and that no one else can come. I was telling them, I says, she can't hurt me because no one's allowed into my little world. No one's allowed into my kingdom unless they come in with love. Unless you come in as love, then you're not part of this of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is only love, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom. And then all the fruits come, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. OK? Against such there is no law. All that is the kingdom, and that's who we are. And all we have to do is shift that focus from the outward turmoil to the inward man where there's peace, and no one that's hurting me can get to me in my kingdom, in God's kingdom, in our kingdom. When we're all in peace, we're all in harmony together in that kingdom. When you go to a place where you're in spirit, whether it be in prayer, whether it be in worship, whether it be in meditation, whatever helps to bring you and bring your focus into the kingdom of God within you, and you connect with the source and you connect with God, then we are all peace and harmony and working together in God. And magical things happen. Doors open everywhere. And I've just been seeing things change because you're changing the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. Amen. I mean, it just gets me excited. And things have just been happening left and right. I'm going to be doing, I'm so thankful I get to go see my older daughter in Port Orchard for Christmas. Have that opportunity. Then I need to be back. And I do the mission that Thursday. I got a busy schedule. Then I do the TV schedule on Saturday. And then I get to go to Texas. I had another wonderful opportunity arose. There were some friends of mine that I grew up with, four sisters, and they lived across the street from us, and they all live in Texas with their mom over there. Well, not with their mom, but they all live in the same city. And we've kind of been instant messaging over the last year, and I have not seen them in, well, it was high school, so was that couple of years ago? Twenty-five years ago. Haven't seen them in 25 years, and they wrote me a couple weeks ago and said that we want you to come to Texas and see us. And I go, well, Lord willing, if there's a way, then that'll happen. And they wrote back later and said, no, you're coming to Texas. We have your tickets and a place to stay. And I'm, well, I'm there. Thank you. So it's just, I've just been more blessed than I can ever imagine. And not that the outward things are what is important. Not that these outward experiences, because if I get attached to this wonderful feelings, then as soon as they're gone, now what do? I've made that mistake my whole life. Get all psyched up with something exciting that's happened. And then when the excitement goes, we go into depression. Oh, I've battled with that my whole life. And that's why I cannot get attached to the external happiness, even though it's nice, but as long as I know where my real happiness is, which is me internally. It's Christ in me, living in the kingdom, living in peace and harmony together. And then we connect. That's where we can connect, is in spirit, in peace and harmony, and things come alive for us in Christ. So anyway, I guess that's the basic gist of what I had in my heart. Every time I tried to make notes today, I got interrupted. I wasn't supposed to take notes, and because I had all kinds of stuff. Boy, I could take verses and do this with them and do that. But for some reason, I just would get all kinds of different interruptions every time I tried, and I finally decided that internal guidance system thing was saying I'm supposed to just get up and share. And I was stressing at first. I'm like, okay, Lord, I hope you give me something to say up here. I always go through this. And God always comes through and has something to say. But there again, and that's part of the ego thing that you have to battle with, is what if I get up there and just start blabbing and it doesn't make sense and everybody thinks that, you know, I look stupid up here. You guys never battle with that kind of stuff? No. And I'm always nervous. I'm like, gosh, how does Larry every Sunday just up here? I'm like always sweating bullets beforehand. And yet I know it's always going to work out, but you've got that battle with the ego that's taking place. So that's where I get to practice my own message and practice what I preach. And I thank you for the opportunity for me to preach to myself again that I need to practice and look for that marker, peace and harmony. If I'm not experiencing peace and harmony, I'm looking in the wrong direction. My focus is in the wrong place. And so I think we're, yes, we need a microphone.
So cool is to have your own kid minister to you. Oh, golly. thank you. Anyway, I don't know, I shared a few before my surgery how I had this vision of, or dream, I guess it was, of a stage, and Catholic Hospital was the stage, and I was the director of a play, which was all this stuff that I was going through, and I saw myself sitting in the balcony, and from up there, I was to direct this, what was going on, and I had just been learning from a book on love. I had gotten into a comfort zone. Oh, beware of comfort zones, because that's when everything kind of explodes. And all of a sudden, and I'm seeing where we can create our own environment by how we perceive things and without judging or not judging. And I'm thinking, okay, we're creators. Am I supposed to make this script? Am I supposed to tell the actors what to do? Am I to choose the actors? I was in great turmoil with this vision he had given me because, okay, I'm one with you. What am I supposed to do? Well, as the vision progressed, and my visions usually do over time, I saw this one character on the stage. And learning from his oldest daughter, who's been in theater quite a bit up there in Port Orchard, sometimes the director will let you have your main script, but you can be yourself. However, you would handle the particular character or situation that you're in. Well, I realized that this one character was the radiologist. And all I did was sort of like telegraph it down to him, is you do your job the way you know to do your job, and God's going to guide you to do your job. And now, in hindsight, I see everything I went through was where the whole universe, you might say, came to for me. It was the most enjoyable experience I have had in a long, long time. Every test, every person that came in, they send me to somebody else, another surgery, another look, another whatever, another scan, another x-ray. And it was fun. John and I went to the cancer center because at one point we thought we could save part of me and I'd have to go through radiation. We had a blast with Dr. Reggae there. Everything was fun. We go out of the cancer center laughing, you know, and everybody else is coming in like this, and I'm thinking, why am I feeling this way? And I realize now, I was, because he shared with me about this looking at your situation, not as being it. My body's not me. My health isn't me, or my cancer wasn't me. I'm looking at this on the stage, you might say, through these other eyes. So that's why I could enjoy this thing, because it wasn't me going through it. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but it was through the stuff that we've been sharing. And it's such a joy that we can share on the same plane of understanding and learning and knowing of things. Thank you, Ken. It's great. After the surgery, however, I had a lot of side effects that I didn't like. And I lost that peace. And I, okay, get back to observing. And it does work. It does work, because more things came my way to help me get some comfort this week. So, yeah. Thanks,
yeah. Because when our focus is on the inward man, when the focus is on the source, then everything's available to us in the universe. There's no lack of anything. We have everything we need. The Word made flesh.
Isn't that what we are? I mean, you were saying that you could have gone into all these scriptures. You could have, you could have done all that. But what you did instead was you made that Word become flesh, which is what Jesus came. Jesus said, "I am the Word made flesh," and that's what we are. And it's important that we all understand that, because as we can do what you're saying, we become the Word made flesh to others.
Exactly. That's it. Exactly. And another example, a metaphor to describe this is like a pond, and the top surface of the pond is what it experiences all the, you can see all the visual effects of what disasters and turmoil and things can do to it. If you throw a rock in, it waves out. If the wind's blowing, it can create waves. Garbage can get blown onto it. Everything's shown on the surface. But if you were to like drop a pebble in and follow it down, as it goes down, the further it goes down, it's just calm and peaceful. You have no idea that on the surface there's all kinds of turmoil going on and happening, because deep down everything's calm and quiet. And that's the same analogy that we can use, that on the surface, in our outward part, in the mind and in the body, we're experiencing all these different things, disturbances, and it shows on the outward. Just thinking of certain things and putting out certain energies creates problems within the physical body, and we see all these disturbances. But when we go deep inside and experience that peace and harmony and experience the source of God within us and know who we are, there's just a knowing and a calmness that we are part of the whole solution. We are part of God and part of all of the universe, all of creation. And you have no idea that those disturbances are going on up above. That's all outward. And inside is the peace and love of God, of who we are. And it's wonderful. So we got fed, hopefully, spiritual food of peace and harmony. And now we can go eat our physical peas and harmony. And I hope you enjoy. I'm going to Texas, so I've been getting used to like my accent and everything. You know, when she asked me what ticket I wanted, she says, "Do you want a window seat or an owl?" And I said, "An owl." So that's a bird that goes whoo whoo. And she said, "No." I said, "Owl, not owl." I said, "She went, how do you say it?" And I said, "Owl," or I mean, "Isle." And she's, "Isle, that's too hard. It's owl." She goes, "You got to learn how to talk right." I'm, okay. So let's have some peas and harmony and